Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Okay, we're in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 5. I like the book of Hebrews. Actually, Hebrews is one of those books that's kind of foundational, and it's a great book to have a real understanding about. And so I have a good time when I'm going through it. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, we thank you again for the work that you do in our heart as we follow after you. God, we thank you for the fact that our salvation is something that comes from you. And Lord, we're just so grateful for that. Lord, we thank you for the fact that when you called us, you told us that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But then you said it's because it's you who works in us both to do and to will of your good pleasure. And so, Lord, as we're going through the book of Hebrews and kind of balancing that those two concepts, the work that you do in us and our responsibility towards you, Lord, we just pray that you give us real wisdom and that we'd walk in your word. And we ask that you bless the study tonight, that you do this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Hebrews chapter 5 is specifically introducing the idea that Jesus is a better high priest. And so as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, Jesus is better than the prophets. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than Moses and so on. And now we're getting to the fact that Jesus is a better high priest. If you look back in chapter 4, in verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And then he says, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he's required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifice for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was." And so you see Paul in this passage talking about the fact that Jesus is our compassionate high priest. He's the one who's passed through the heavens. And so he leaves earth, he goes to heaven, and one of the major things that he is doing in heaven is mediating for us. He's our mediator. And so there's a passage in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 5 that says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And so a mediator is somebody who is a go-between between two warring parties, basically, two parties that need to be reconciled. And so the Bible talks about the fact that we, in our sin, are separated from God. And actually, the Bible talks about it, us being at enmity. And that's a King James word that means I'm in constant conflict. There is a problem between me and the Lord. And the Bible talks about this warfare that's going on between mankind and God. And that's why the Bible talks about reconciliation. So you see that term in the Bible a lot, being reconciled to God, reconciliation. That's the idea of taking two warring parties and bringing them together and finally getting them past the fight that they're having. And that is one of the things that Jesus does when he's in heaven. He's the mediator between God and man. And so when you're in the Old Testament and you see Moses in the book of Exodus, Moses goes and appears before God. And God sets up this covenant with the people of Israel where he says, what I want is for the people, all the people of Israel, to be my priests. And so they're going to be a kingdom of priests. And that's the offer that God makes to them. And then he appears to them on Mount Sinai. And when he appears to them, it's scary, basically. And so there's fire and there's smoke and there's thunderings and there's voices and there's all this stuff that's going on. And the elders that are there, they basically tell Moses, we don't want to approach God. You go and approach God. You be the go-between between us and God. We'll stay here. We'll do whatever the Lord says, but we don't want to get near him. Because they said, we're afraid that we're going to die. And so Moses became the mediator between God and the people of Israel. And you've got somewhat the same thing going on with Jesus. He's the mediator between God and men. And one of the things that is taking place here is the fact that when you're looking at Jesus coming down to the earth, he's doing a number of things. And so one of those things that he's doing is he's coming to earth to show what a life lived for God is supposed to look like, right? And so Jesus does it perfectly. He is also the one who fulfills the law. And so while Jesus is showing what a life that's lived for God looks like, he's also fulfilling the commandments in the Old Testament that talk about the fact that we need to be obedient to the Word of God. And he's the only one who has ever been completely obedient. We're going to talk a little bit more about obedience when we get into chapter 5 here. But he's the one who's been completely obedient. He also came to do the will of God. And so he's doing the will of God on earth. But the other thing that he came to do is to become a representative of humanity before God. And so Jesus comes down, and he comes down in human form, so that he can mediate between us and God. So in human form, so that we can relate to him, but he's God in human form, and so he's relatable, obviously, to the Father. And he was always relatable to the Father. He didn't need to do anything else, but you see what I mean. And so one of the cool things that we have, actually it's kind of one of the weird things that we have, is that we have a man that's standing before the Father all the time, a man. So Jesus, when he goes back to heaven, he keeps his humanity. And so he comes to the earth uncreated, the creator who is uncreated. He comes to the earth and he comes in human form. And he does that so he can reconcile us to God through sacrifice, that whole thing. But when he goes back to heaven and goes back into glory, he keeps his humanity. And so Jesus is a human forever. I don't know that I'd do that. And we'll talk about that in a minute also. When you're talking about a mediator contains the whole idea of an advocate also. And so the Bible talks about we have an advocate before God, and that's, again, Jesus. And an advocate is like a lawyer. And so we talked about this last week. When Satan stands before God and accuses us, and that's what the Bible says that he does every day in Revelation chapter 12. He every day stands before God accusing us. He doesn't have to lie about us. He can tell the precise truth about who we are and how we failed before God. And God, if it was just according to law, would be obligated to judge us for those things. But because Jesus took our place and he's our advocate, he goes before the Father and basically the trial is over. So Satan stands up and says, Steve Wintery did this, he thought this, he acted like this, he went here, he did that, and that whole thing, and it can all be absolutely true. And Satan gets done and he says, you should judge him for these things. Jesus at that point stands up as my lawyer, my defense attorney, and goes over to the bar, leans against it, and looks up at God the Father and says, yeah, you know what? Everything that guy said is true, Lord. Everything he said is true. But Dad, and now the trial's over. Because the Father is Jesus's dad. Dad, I died for him. I died in his place. I paid the price for him. And so that's kind of the picture that you have there. There's a mediator, there's an advocate who stands before God for us, and he's standing before the Father, and yet he knows our frame. He's not someone who dictates to us from on high. He's someone who has entered into the human condition, and he knows exactly what it is to be us, basically. And that's why the passage says we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You see that over in the book of Philippians. Turn left in your Bible to Philippians. It goes Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and in chapter 2. And it talks about the incarnation. And it says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." And so it lets you know in that passage that before Jesus comes down to the earth, he's God. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. If I ever said that I was equal with God, I would be ripping God off. I'd be stealing his glory. But when Jesus is called somebody that's equal with God, that is not what is happening there, because he's in the form of God. He made himself, verse 7, of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, or literally of a slave, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, beloved, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And that's where that verse comes from. It's in the context of the condescension, and that literally means the coming down with, the condescension of Jesus in coming as a man. He knows our frame. He knows what it's like to be human. He knows what our weaknesses are all about. He understands it. And again, he's not a God who sits off in his ivory tower in heaven and just says, you should do this. He actually comes down. And actually, you see this all through Scripture. Every time that God is about to judge, he always comes down. And so you see that in the Garden of Eden. You see that with Babylon, the Tower of Babel. You see that with Sodom and Gomorrah. You have God coming down before he's ever going to judge. And it's the idea of he's not somebody who's just pronouncing things from a distance. He knows exactly what's going on. And basically, it's a picture of God is involved. Okay. And so when Jesus comes to be our Savior, he puts on human flesh, but then he doesn't leave it that way. He doesn't turn around and go back to heaven and go back to glory. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Well, he doesn't go back to just being the Word again. Or actually, it wouldn't be just being. It would be going back to his ultimate glory that he had before he came to the earth. He went back and he kept human form. And so we got a man who's in heaven who's representing us before God. And that sounds really good from our point of view. It's like, yeah, we got a man up in heaven. But from Jesus's point of view, we talked about this last week. This is like becoming a pig. Like God looks at pigs and goes, you know, says to me, Steve, I love the pigs. I want to save the pigs. And I'm like, okay, God, you want to save the pigs? And he goes, Steve, I want you to do it. And I go, okay, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to learn pig Latin? And I'll talk to the pigs? And God goes, no, you're going to have to become a pig to be able to reach them. And then I think about that for a while and decide whether or not I want to do that. And then, I have some modicum of compassion. And so I go, yeah, okay, Lord, I'll become a pig and I'll go out and reach them. And then the Lord says, you know what? What's going to happen here is you're going to go to the pigs and they're not going to understand you. They're not going to believe you. They're going to think that you're a rotten pig, and they're going to kill you, right? And that's what happened with Jesus. The father says, you're going to become a pig. They're going to kill you, but I'm going to raise you from the dead. Okay, Lord. And one more thing. You're going to have to remain a pig for the rest of eternity. I don't know that I would do that. Would you? And it's actually even worse than that. And again, we talked about this last week. It's more on the level of me becoming a maggot. And even that doesn't compare, because a maggot is a created thing, and I'm a created thing. And what Jesus is uncreated. He's the God of the universe, and he comes down and takes on human flesh. And so, you know, and we look at that, and again, it's like no big deal to us. And in fact, we kind of think it's honorable for us, but that's like all the little maggots going, oh yeah, he became a maggot. He's a maggot forever. Awesome. All us maggots love the heavenly maggot. And again, gross. That's gross. But that's what Christ did for us. Then it goes into chapter 3 and says, finally, my brethren, I'm in chapter 3 of Philippians, going back over to Hebrews, to chapter 5, excuse me. It says, he goes through and he starts talking about the qualifications for the priesthood. And he says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And so one of the qualifications for the Old Testament priesthood, one of the things that they had to do, was offer gifts before God. Those are offerings, and sacrifices before God. Did Jesus offer gifts and sacrifices? And the answer is obviously, yeah. And so, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus is the one who is giving himself for the world. And obviously, he sacrificed himself for sin. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. And you have, again, exactly the same thing with Jesus. It's a little bit different, but he's compassionate because of shared weakness. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be attacked. He knows what it's like. He's gone through everything that there is to go through. He knows exactly what it's like. He doesn't know sin, but that's not a minus on his part. That is actually a plus on his part, because the sin that's around him is exceedingly sinful, because he's not a sinner. And so there are times when we get into sin, and I don't know about you, but when I get into sin, I feel filthy, don't you? And it's like, until you make it right before God, till you make it right with the people that you've sinned against, I can't sleep if I don't take care of things. And the reason is because I feel filthy. There were times, it's not like this anymore because I work at church, but there were times when I'd come home from my construction job and just feel filthy because of what I've been listening to all day. The things that guys were saying, or the music that was playing in a track that I was working at, or you know, that kind of stuff. And I just felt filthy. I needed to get into my apartment and grab my Bible and spend time with the Lord so I could feel clean about stuff. That's just going through life. And I'm a sinner like everybody else. And that had that kind of effect on me. And so Jesus understands our weaknesses. He understands what we're going through, and he's compassionate because of it. One of the things that is different, it says verse 3, is because of this, the weakness, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And this is where Jesus is greater than or better than the Old Testament high priests, because Jesus didn't have to offer a sacrifice for his sin. So Aaron did, and after Aaron, his son did, and after Aaron's son, his son did. Each one of the high priests, one of the first things that they had to do was offer a sacrifice of sin offerings for himself. And then finally, it says, and no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. And then it says in verse 5, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And so he says that he's talking about the Aaronic priesthood and saying that Aaron didn't come up with this thing on his own. It was God who called Aaron to be the high priest. And in the same way, it was the Father who called Jesus to be our high priest. First off, by letting us know that he's the Son, and then also by flatly stating that he's a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 4 is a verse that the Mormons like to use. And so when I first came back to the Lord, I was working for a Mormon, and he was an elder of the Quorum of the 70, which means he's an uppity up. And so I'm working for him for about 6 months. And when I started working for him, I wasn't walking with the Lord. And probably about a month after I started working for this guy, I recommitted my life to the Lord, okay? And so I know that he's a Mormon. I don't know a lot about Mormons, but I know that they're off on things. And so one of the things that I started doing was reading up on Mormonism and checking things out and going through, because I want to witness to this guy. And I did witness to him, and it was kind of tentative at first. I asked him questions and things like that, but it got more intense as time went on. And one time we were having this conversation about the Aaronic priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood. And this is something that the Mormons do. They make all their, they take people in Mormonism and they make them either part of the Aaronic priesthood or the Melchizedek priesthood. And we were having this conversation this one time, and he brought that whole thing up and said, we have a priesthood. You guys don't have a priesthood. And I said, well, yes, we do. And he goes, what are you talking about? And I go, the Bible says that we're all priests and kings before Jesus. You know, and I told him the same thing that God offered to Moses is something that God offered, that God fulfilled in the church. Excuse me, that God offered to Israel is something that God fulfilled in giving it to the church. And he quotes this verse, and we're driving along the freeway in Southern California in his 65 green Ford pickup truck, and my Bible is sitting on the dash right in front of me. And he quotes this verse, and he says, well, the Bible says no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God just as Aaron was. And so he said, you don't get to call yourself a priest. You have to have that given to you. And in the Bible, the way it was given to Aaron was by the laying on of hands. And he goes on with this whole thing. And when he said that, I knew obviously that there was something wrong with it. And I knew where the verse was, but I didn't know everything. I didn't know the Bible well enough at that point to know the context of the verse. And I remember sitting there going, I should grab my Bible right now, open it up and talk and look at the verse, because I know he's taken it out of context. And then I went, no. And the reason I did that was because I was afraid I was going to be wrong. And so we went on with the conversation a little bit, and you know, he dropped me off where my car was, and I went home. I went to my apartment, I grabbed my Bible, I opened it up, and I turned to this passage, and I realized this has nothing to do with Mormonism, this has to do with the Old Testament priesthood, has nothing to do with what he was talking about, totally out of context. And as soon as I saw that, God goes, don't you ever be afraid of my word.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.